Happy Friday of the 2026 54th running of the Iditarod Sled Dog Trail Race. Wow, what a week it has been. And we've got the two final mushers headed into Nome as we record this tonight. It's been an exciting one this year, and I'm ready to kick it off.
Nobody covers dog sledding like Mushing from First Paw Media. Our team of athletes, volunteers, race organizers, and mushers like Robert and Michelle Forto brings you closer to the sport. If it's happening, we are there. Live from the qualifying races in January and February, the Iditarod in March, and in the summer, Mushing takes you on the road with our team and trail tour. We connect you with a history of the sport, in-depth interviews with the top mushers, and great storytelling and breaking news all year long. Follow on mushing.com.
Welcome to the Burled Arch podcast. I am your host, Michelle Forto. Robert is still in South Korea, and he wishes all of you a good evening. I'm going to run this show tonight on my own, so I am looking for as much love from all of our fans as I can get. As I mentioned in the opener, we've got two mushers headed in to Nome. Keaton Lobrick will come in as number 28. He is 4 miles from the finish at the time of this recording, and it is 7:06 p.m. Alaska time. He is going to be followed by Richie Beatty, who is 7 miles from the finish line. So if you are able to cheer them on with me, even if it's in the future or the past, however you're listening to this, let's give these guys a cheer to get them on home to Nome. What a fantastic race this has been. We did notice, though, that Adam Lindermuth did have to scratch there in White Mountain. I do believe that weather played a huge factor in that. I heard that they did all wait and leave together, which I think is super cool. And I'll probably let Robert dive into a little bit more about that on our show tomorrow night. So I would like to thank Mark Arat. And Mark, I apologize if I am not pronouncing your name right. I know that you have been a fan of the podcast as well as friends with Robert and I over the years. And I just want to say thank you, sir, so, so much for sharing tonight's audio file with me. So, Mark suggested I Got a Dog by Don McAvoy and the Great Whatever. I got a dog. Well, I've got a dog. Ain't nothing in this world quite like my dog. She's loyal and proud. She's the queen of my yard. She takes my chair. She's the house guard. She's glad I made it home. And not just to feed her. She's got limitless love, and I know I can please her. What a fun song, and I do believe Mark is correct in his recollection that we did feature this song previously, and I think that we may have interviewed Mr. Don McAvoy quite a little bit ago on one of our podcast feeds. I will make sure that Robert clarifies that. But as I mentioned today on the trail, there was a lot happening. So just to give a little bit of a recap, Kevin Hansen is in Nome. Sadie Lindquist is in Nome. Joseph Sabin, Sam Papperman, Sydney Bale, Jason Mackey came in at number 26. Brenda Mackey followed him in at number 27. And as we are waiting right now for Keith Lobrick and Richard Beatty, congratulations to all of the mushers that are able to be in Nome for this year's banquet. There have been lots of times in the past where there is still a musher out on the trail at the time of the banquet. So this is pretty fantastic this year for all of the mushers to have finished well in time for that banquet. As I said, it is Friday night. We've got all day tomorrow for everybody to rest, relax, give their dogs some love, send their gear and their dogs home, and get ready for that elusive banquet. Now, did you guys happen to see what Iditarod champion Jesse Holmes gave to his dogs right there under the Burled Arch? That's right. He gave his dogs ribeye steaks. I think that's pretty fantastic. They not only earned that well-deserved snack, I am sure they all enjoyed those ribeye steaks. And just to give you guys a clue, when I went to the grocery store tonight to grab something for my own dinner, I happened to take a look at our local Fred Meyer's Kroger store where they were advertising 20% off of our ribeye steaks, and they were packaged in packages of two, running about a pound and a half for those two steaks. That was hitting a price with the 20% off of $42, or basically 21 bucks per steak. I don't know what they're going for in your neck of the woods. That's not necessarily a fantastic price for ribeye steaks for us, but I say Jesse Holmes' dogs most definitely deserved that reward. So we are going to go ahead and predict that it will be Richie Beatty for the Red Lantern. Keaton Lobrick just passed into Nome under the Burled Arch. So congratulations to Keaton. But Richie has about 5 miles to go. So he will definitely be collecting that Red Lantern probably before I finish recording this show. So let's jump into who our musher profile is for the evening. Tonight's musher profile features Hannah Lyrick, an international competitor whose life has been shaped by sled dogs from the very beginning. Hannah was quite literally born into mushing. She started riding and helping with dog teams at just 2 years old, growing up between Alaska and Norway in a family deeply connected to the sport. For her, sled dog racing was never something she discovered later in life. It was always there, woven into her upbringing, her identity, and her sense of adventure. As she developed as a musher, Hannah built her experience across Scandinavia, competing in some of Europe's most demanding long-distance races. Those events are known for testing both endurance and dog care, and along the way, she earned multiple humanitarian awards, recognition given to mushers who demonstrate exceptional care and respect for their dogs on the trail. From early on, Hannah had her sights set on Alaska and the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. That goal became reality in 2022 when she made her Iditarod debut and delivered an impressive performance, earning Rookie of the Year honors. It was a milestone moment, but for Hannah, it was never the finish line. It was the beginning of something bigger. Since then, she has continued to build her career as a long-distance musher, returning to the trail with the same mindset that defines many of the sport's best competitors. Finish one race, take a breath, and start preparing for the next. That steady, forward-looking approach reflects both her European racing background and her commitment to the long game in mushing. Off the trail, Hannah stays deeply connected to life with dogs. She works as a guide, sharing the experience of dog sledding with others, and spends her time running, fishing, and staying active in the outdoors. Like many mushers, her lifestyle revolves around the rhythm of the kennel and the seasons. Ask her what she loves most about the Iditarod, and the answer is simple. It is the adventure, the landscape, and above all, the partnership with her dogs. For Hannah Lyric, the race is not just about reaching Nome. It is about the shared journey with the team that makes it all possible. And as she returns to the runners once again, she carries that same perspective forward, focused, grateful, and always ready for the next trail ahead. Hannah gave an impressive standing this year for the Iditarod. She finished 11th, and that is pretty dang good. We look forward to seeing Hannah continue to compete in Iditarod and continue that journey with her dogs. Do you guys recall when we talked about the Unicolite pizzas? Well, we had a fan reach out to us and the subject line read, "We love all mushers with pizza." Zan sent us this lovely message, and here's how it goes. As we begin to wrap up this year's Iditarod, I wanted to thank you again for your coverage. I've especially enjoyed the history segment. I wanted to let you know a fun fact that shows the love we fans have for the race and each team. Those of us on the Insider Chat one night got together and made sure each team would have a pizza waiting for them whenever they came in, and gave the restaurant love with tips too. One way we could reach out during the race. Thanks again for your coverage year-round. Zan, thank you so much for sharing this. We do appreciate the love as well, just by letting us know how much you've enjoyed the new format that Robert came up with this year. We do appreciate you sharing this wonderful news with us and how you guys all got together on the Insider Chat. I unfortunately never have the time to dive deep into the Insider Chat as much as I would love to, just to see a little bit of the chatter, what's going on out there, grab some information from you guys and stuff like that. But I am a very busy person and I just don't have time to add that to my plate. So thank you so much for sharing this information with us. I did absolutely appreciate it. Okay, it's time for the moment in mushing history, one of Zan's favorite segments. We're going to jump back in time to when my first son was born, May of 1992. Here we go. Persons Wins Hope, 92, a report from Anadyr, Russia. Alaskan dog musher Kate Persons won the Hope 92 International Sled Dog Race from Nome, Alaska, to the Russian Far East. Persons of Kotzebue and the defending champion in the second annual transcontinental race arrived at the finish line in Anadyr at 3:15 in the morning on Thursday, April 9th. She had bested her 1991 winning record by 5 days. Whoa. Despite a local Anadyr arrival time of 12:15 a.m. Friday and cold weather, Persons was greeted by a crowd of adults and children. The 1,200-mile race began on March 22nd in Nome. Mushers, sleds, and dog teams, as well as race officials, flew over the Bering Strait aboard Russian military helicopters to resume the race on the Chukchi Sea coast. It was slow going on the last leg of the trail. It took Persons more than 24 hours to run a 91-mile stretch of the Welkal to Bistri. The final portion of the trail was reported warm and muddy in places. Persons, who is a veteran of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race and the Yukon Quest International Sled Dog Race, said the Hope race has become her favorite. I love this race more than any other race I've run. Anytime, anywhere, she told Nome radio station KNOM. My goodness, times have changed. Imagine today if this race were run and we actually flew on Russian helicopters and landed on one of their military bases. I find this story truly remarkable, considering it happened in 1992. Up next, we're going to discuss the Burled Arch and the Red Lantern and the Widow's Lamp. During the first Iditarod in 1973, as leader Dick Wilmarth and his dogs made their way down Nome's front street, someone in the crowd realized there was no official finish line. Thinking quickly, a person grabbed a package of Kool-Aid and poured the crystals across the snow where the finish line should have been. It was, arguably, the most delicious finish line in racing history. The following year, an official banner was put up, but when the last musher crossed beneath it, a gold miner by the name of Red Fox Olson, he felt the race needed something more substantial, more permanent. Olson built the original Burled Arch as a gift to the race. It lasted from 1975 to 1999 before succumbing to dry rot. The arch was remade and added to the 2000 race and is still used today. However, I'm going to make a correction here on this reading. As we all know, that arch did fail last year and Ramey Smith erected a new one. So there we go. The arch that was remade and then added in the year 2000 did fail in the year 2024, and Ramey Smith spent the majority of 2024 into the fall and just getting that arch re-erected for the 2025 Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. Now, let's get back to our story. The arch is made from a spruce log with two distinct burls or knots. One burl red, Anchorage across the top and Nome across the bottom, the cities where the race starts and finishes. The other burl reads 1049 across the top and miles across the bottom. The crossbeam reads end of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race. 1,049 miles is the symbolic distance of the Iditarod. The 1,000 signifies that the race is at least 1,000 miles and the 49 commemorates Alaska as the 49th state added to the United States. The actual distance varies depending on whether the northern or southern routes are followed, where the restart takes place, whether certain checkpoints are dropped as a result of bad weather, etc., and the actual race distance usually falls between 1,100 and 1,200 miles. Let's talk about the history of the Red Lantern in the Iditarod. The Red Lantern Award is an award given to the Iditarod's last place finisher. The tradition began as a joke during the 1953 Fur Rendezvous race and was passed on to the Iditarod. Over the years, however, it has become a symbol of perseverance. Today's mushers feel a proud sense of accomplishment when receiving the Red Lantern Award. And we need to congratulate Richie Beatty for getting the 54th Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race Red Lantern Award. Let's talk about the Widow's Lamp in the Iditarod. Each year on the first Sunday in March, the Iditarod Trail Committee lights a small gas lantern and hangs it from the Burled Arch. Called the Widow's Lamp, it remains lit until the last musher is off the trail. The extinguishing of the lamp by the final musher signals the official end of the race. The ritual is somewhat similar to the lighting and extinguishing of the Olympic flame. However, the tradition actually replicates a practice followed during Alaska's Gold Rush when sled dog teams hauled freight and mail over the Iditarod Trail. Because freight and mail mushers often battled darkness and inclement weather, Word would be relayed whenever a dog team was on the trail, and the roadhouses along the trail would each light a kerosene lamp and hang it outside to help the musher find his way. It also signaled to others that a dog team was on the trail and people should look out for it. The lamp would not be extinguished until the dog team safely reached its destination. And here's some quick trivia. Did you know that they light a star on Thanksgiving on a mountain that you can see as you head out of Anchorage on the Glen Highway, and it stays lit until the last musher comes in off the trail in the Iditarod the following March? Tomorrow on the podcast, we're going to gear up for the banquet on Sunday. So if you have any questions or comments, or you would just like me to mention something that you thought was cool this year, be sure to leave us a text or voicemail by calling our hotline at 303-578-9881, or you can leave us an email at podcast@mushing.com. Thank you all so much for staying devoted to this podcast and our continued coverage of the Iditarod Trail Sled Dog Race all the way through to the banquet. Have a good night.
Are you a fan of the great outdoors? Do you enjoy the thrill of speed and adventure? Then listen up. Introducing Mushing, your ultimate guide to the exciting world of dog-powered sports and mushing. Whether you're a seasoned musher or just starting out, Mushing has got you covered. Get ready to immerse yourself in captivating stories of incredible sled dog races, expert training tips from seasoned professionals, and gear reviews to help you make the right choices for your team. From the breathtaking landscapes of Alaska to the snowy trails of Scandinavia, Mushing takes you on a thrilling journey through the world of dog-powered sports. Don't miss out on the latest issue, packed with exclusive interviews with top mushers, in-depth articles on sled dog nutrition, and stunning photography that will transport you to the heart of the action. So whether you're dreaming of competing in the Iditarod or simply want to learn more about this incredible sport, Mushing is your go-to resource. Subscribe now and get ready to unleash your passion for mushing. Visit our website at mushing.com or find us on your favorite podcast platform. Mushing, where the spirit of adventure meets the power of the pack.